So as we said, last week we dealt with external concerns to Psak, the Kavod one, which I know Shua doesn't like, but that's okay. But I think even Shua will agree with me that to figure out who can Paskin for yourself, whether you can Paskin for yourself, you've just got to figure out what does it mean to be a Posik. Now obviously this is the shorthand version of what does it mean to be a Posik. But give me the basic contours. What does one need to be a Posik? What are they two? What does knowledge mean? Good. What does knowledge mean?
I would broaden.
Wait, first Shua. Sure.
Sure. One more. I'm gonna say the whole thing.
Well, what does knowledge include?
So, are you answering?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So, I personally think that I'm not really confident. But here's my personal opinion. I think
he's postulating what a posik. Yeah, good.
I think a posik needs to know. Not only within Torah knowledge, but also has to know medical knowledge, okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me speak broadly. What? See, this is interesting because you're both. I would have thought that all of you would have gone with something else, right? Which is what? Right? What? See, that's what you're all going for, but that's not
actually. He has to be a thinker.
That's what you said.
Okay, so let's. Knowledge means accumulation of facts, and what else does it mean?
Able to analyze.
Yes, thank you. Right? The ability to analyze. So first things first. First things first. Right? Now, this is not me guessing. This is the Gemara. Look at number 7. This is the Gemara in Horio. Okay, the Gemara here is describing. The context is Parhel and Davar Shultzibur, yeah.
Would one say that one would... No, meaning... To be a posek, you need the same ingredients to be like a shofet of it. Meaning it's the same concept, right? Is it not?
Okay. Of course. Right? I mean, judging on a court is a form of Psak. Psak is more broad. There's a broader category.
Way of doing that, right? Meaning it's because of... It's a result of...
No. Being a shofet is... Right? Well
the budget in him was like the perfect system. Right?
If we had Sanhedrin, we'd...
Poskinning is a non-perfect...
Well, we're going to get this from the perfect system. What we're about to see is the perfect system.
So
the context of this Gemara...
Is it incorrect to assume that it's the non-perfect version?
Well, before we get to the non-perfect version, let's talk about the perfect.
Okay.
I mean, basic contours, let's talk about the perfect, right? So the context is Parhelam Devershult Sibor.
Yeah.
What's Parhelam Devershult Sibor?
That is the offer when they make a mistake.
It is a little bit more clear. It is a unique carbon that is brought under only the following circumstances. When the Sanhedrin
makes a mistake,
the Sanhedrin, either Sanhedrin Agadal Yoshev Yerushalayim or the localized Shvatim, it's Machlokin the Mishnah, right? But either the high court of the country or the high court of the Shevet, sin and...
It's an Isser Karbis.
And
the
majority of either the nation or...
Follows.
Right? Now, however you define majority, that's the question.
Follows
the incorrect Psak, right? It's that combination of factors that lead to this problem.
Is it premature to ask what is incorrect Psak?
Yes, it is.
Is it
premature?
Incorrect.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But this is the background to this. So that is the Mishnah. Now, in that context, the Mishnah describes a very unique case, right? Which is when one of them knew that there... Well, actually, I don't need the very unique case. The Gemara then, in that context, discusses what happens if one of the members of Sanhedrin, right, or someone who is ra'ui to be on the Sanhedrin, is aware of the fact that they made a mistake. So in that context, the Gemara now has to figure out, well, what does that mean? Ra'ui lahora'a. Right, what does it mean?
To be fit for something.
Yes, to paskin, lahora'a. Right, so this is the Gemara in Orio Davbet. V'yada echad man shetau o talmid v'ra'ui lahora'a. If one of them made a mistake, or a student, meaning someone who's not yet a member of the Sanhedrin, but ra'ui lahora'a, right, fundamentally he is worthy of paskining. So Gemara says, Tarte lamali. Right? Why do you need both of these clauses? So Amarava. Itzrich. Because I might have thought, and here the Gemara now introduces you to the two main factors a Bozek needs. Salka daita chamina. I might have thought that hani mile gamir visavir, aval gamir vilo savir lo. Right? The ideal Bozek is what the Gemara calls gamir visavir. What's gamir?
A knower and a thinker.
Good. Right? A knower and a thinker. Very good. Gamir visavir. Right? The Temanim actually like using this. From I gather they like these phrases. A friend of mine who's a very, 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 very proud of his heritage started a group, the like Andalusian something, right?
Andalusian.
Yes, like that, you know, that's like the golden age of Spain.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Andalusia. People. Andalusia, yeah. Anyways, so the Gemara says, I might have thought that the Talmud here requires both. Kamash Malan, he doesn't. And Amar Le Abaye, Lehora. You're joking me, right? You just said he's able to paskin. You can't know and not be able to think. Gamir visavir mashma. The word to paskin, right? The ability, ra'ui lahora, the words able to, right? This is not me, right? This is like, if you're reading more carefully, the words, the phrase, able to paskin means gamir visavir, right? Again, we read this very clearly. Lehora, to be able to paskin, gamir visavir mashma. That is what is entailed by this phrase. So Amar Le, Hachayamina Kaimna, he said, you're right. This is what I said. Imea he avamina hanimila gamir visavir. Aval gamir vilo savir lo. Tana ra'ui laharam, Mishnah yiteraf, you'll gamir vilo savir vilo gamir. He says, you're right. A full ra'ui laharam means someone who can think and knows. The extra phrase of Talmid Haroi Lora tells me that for these purposes, we're talking even a non-ideal posek. And a non-ideal posek can either be, right, someone who's like in the Parsha is someone who is either Gamir or Safir, right, is capable of analysis. But the ideal posek, right, it's clear, is Gamir. So look at Rashi said, is Lamad Hadafar. And Savir, Mevin Davar Mitoch Davar. It has the ability to analyze, right? So yes, the ideal posek on the ideal Sanhedrin, right? Ideal is what we call gamir v'savir. Okay. Now the Rambam is elaborates a bit on this, and this is the Rambam in this second paragraph of Sanhedrin. He says, "Ein ma'amidim v'Sanhedrin bein b'gdola bein b'ktana ela anashim chachamim u'nifonim." You can't be well in the Sanhedrin unless they are knowledgeable and discerning. Muflagin b'chokhmara Torah ba'alei de'a mirubah. They know a lot of Torah. And now we go to Yaakov. What do they need to know? It's not just Torah. Yodim k'tad mishar chokhmot. They need to know a little bit of other things. Kagon, refuot. They need to know a little bit of medicine. Cheshbon, a little bit of math. Tkufotu mazalot, a little bit of
astronomy.
Astronomy, yeah. Itztagninu darkei hamonanim
v'kosmim v'machashvim
va.
They need to know itztagnino?
Yes, like, why?
What is it? Really? Itztagnine
paro. Why? Because they need... Why do they need to know magic?
They need to know what not to start.
No, they need to sentence people to death. They even need to know what's usher. Yeah. They need to understand what it is. Because if someone... Lidugma. Someone wants... One of my... friends / students, whatever. I was in the Kollel, he was in Shan Aleph, whatever, a few years apart. He asked me Shilas pretty often. One day we've joked that like my first tshuva sefer will just be all the tshuva he's asked me in his life. So once he asked me and he said, I'm in Princeton, and Princeton has more money than they know what to do with. So Princeton decided that for our creative writing class, they're sending us on a tour of New York to have experiences we can write on. For a different creative writing class, they also accepted his request to be sent on a several-week vacation to go hiking in Argentina or Brazil or something. So they really have more money than they know what to do with. That's not the point. They have like $50 billion, $40 billion, some insane amount of money. Yes. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Penn, they all have as much money as...
Like five,
correct. They have more money than most countries. It's fine. Crazy. But anyways, so he said, one of the things they're sending us to is a palm reader. Am I allowed to go? Now, I had never thought about the question.
A palm reader?
Palm reader.
A psychic.
A psychic. Am I allowed to go? If everyone going thinks it's a farce, it's just for writing. Does that matter?
Have an element and dive into for yourself.
Right? So it was, I never really thought about the Shiloh because, like, right? But then I had to look into it. I had to look into different types, figure out the Yisurim, right? If you want to paskin on that, it was actually very fun because I suggested a particular psak. Someone, I sent it out to a rabbinic listserv, and someone forwarded it to Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, without me knowing, and the next thing I hear, I'm listening to Rabbi Leibowitz, who says, he reads my question from the email, and he says, I think it's mutter, right? And then I emailed him and said, by that point I had researched it, and Rav Schechter had said it was usser, and he's a Talmud of Rav Schechter. I said, you know, by the way, Rav Schechter thinks usser. He's like, oh, maybe I should rethink this, and we ended up going through the sugya. But my point is that you, what?
Maybe he was correct.
Or maybe he was, but he then rethought it. Anyways, but you need to know this. Now, the Sanhedrin itself, which is also a representative body, also requires people who are important or miuchas. That last element, I don't think, carries over to Psak at all, right? You need to be miuchas, right? Because the Sanhedrin, right, is clearly more than just Psak. It's also a, right, image is a lot more important there.
Miuchas.
Yes, miuchas. But we'll bracket that. Now, the Rambam in...
What? He's born into Sanhedrin.
No. But you need to be like part of, you know, kosher families. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. Oh, you created a whole new thing in Shua's head.
Okay. Now, the Rambam in Perek Gimel Chachet, this is one of my favorite Rambams, because it's the one that makes a lot of people angry. If I would read it to them in certain circles, certain circles who believe that to be there are certain members of the community, broadly speaking, who believe. I'll first say what they believe correctly, and then I'll say what I disagree. Right? No, it's not Haredi. This is a critique on the other side of the community. Right? There are people in the community who believe that not every rabbi needs to be a posek. That much I agree with. Then they say, well, since not every rabbi needs to be the biggest chacham, because they're pederal, but they then sometimes end up, well, no, not every rabbi needs to be the biggest chacham. He needs to be nice, he needs to be pastorally, he needs to inspire, da da da. But then they sort of accidentally spill into, and once someone's a rabbi, well, he's the posik for his community, even though we already said that the qualifications for being, right, a rabbi are not necessarily the same as being a posik, right? They sort of blur that line, right? This drives me crazy, right? I'm totally okay with the statement that not every rabbi needs to be a posek, right? That's true. Certain communities just need an inspiring person and v'chule, right?
I know I have someone exactly said that same thing.
Okay, good. But one should not then think you are a posek just because you have the title rabbi, right? It doesn't work that way, right? Now, the Rambam in Halacha 10 is about as harsh as you can possibly be in making this point very clear. This is what he writes. Kol Sanhedrin, let me read this because I get such hana reading this Halacha, and people get angry at me if I invoke it, but it's okay. Kol Sanhedrin, O Melech, O Rosh, Golash, Emidu Lehen Yisrael, Dayan, She'eno Hagun, Ve'eno Chacham, Ve'chochmah Torah, Ve'ra'ui Liyot Dayan. Anybody who appoints a judge who's not worthy of being a Dayan, and now he says, why might you do that? Why might someone appoint someone to be a posek who's not worthy? Afal, why would you do it? Because afal pishu kolo mashmadim, right? Even though he's just so nice, the yeshba tovor acherot, he has other good qualities. Over below, if you do this, you violate a biblical prohibition. Of not showing favoritism in judgment. Which Chazal understand as a prohibition on appointing judges. One second. And he says, it is the same as, you might say, oh, he's good looking, he's nice, he's ploni gibor, and he's strong. I should make him a judge. He's ploni krovi, he's my mishpacha. He's ploni yodeba chalashon, he knows every language. What are you doing? Nimtza mizaked achayav umechayeved azakai. You are responsible because now you have caused the innocent to be convicted and the convicted to be the guilty to be exonerated. Lo mibneishu rasha, right? Not because he's a rasha. Elimnei sheinu yodea, because he's not knowledgeable. Likach ne'emar lo takiru panim b'mishpat. Don't show favoritism. Vilo ve'od amru kol ma'amid li Yisrael dayan she'eino agun. And if you do appoint such a judge, ki'ilu hekim matseva. It's like building a matseva, right? A problematic mizbeach shenemar velo lekim lecha matzeva asher sanei Hashem elokecha uvemakom tamidei chachamim. And if you set up a non-worthy dayan when there are worthy tamidei chachamim around, keilu nata asherah, it's as if you planted an idolatrous tree. Shenemar lo titalecha asherah kol eitzel mizbeach Hashem elokecha. Right? Ke vechein amru chachamim lo taasun eiti eloi chesef eloa abba bishvil kesef zahav. It's like setting up a god, right? We learn it from the pasuk of Bodhisara. Don't make gods of gold and silver. Meaning people you appoint because of money is Ayan Sheminu Mibnei Ashro Bilvad. Right? The Rama makes it very clear, right? A member of Sanhedrin, we like nice people, don't get me wrong, right? But a Dayan must be Gamir Visavir. Right? You don't appoint someone to be a Dayan because he's nice, because he's rich, because he's sweet, because he's inspiring. That's not why you do it. Right? Now again, we're talking about the ideal, right? And I'm not saying this about every rabbi. But I think it is true to an extent, obviously not to the extent of Sanhedrin, for any posek. Right? We must maintain that distinction. Again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying that every rabbi needs to be a posek. What I am saying is, anybody who claims to be a posek had better be qualified to be a posek. Right? Those are different statements. Yes.
You said a rabbi, you made the statement a rabbi isn't necessarily a posek. If you switch that out, you're a posek, can you be a rabbi?
Can you be a rabbi? Sure. Do you need to be a rabbi? No.
Would you be a rabbi then in that position that you can give psakin?
If you are a posek, you can be a community rabbi, you can be, right? Assuming you're qualified for that. But it doesn't work the other way. Just because you're qualified to lead a community pastorally doesn't make you a posek. Psak is a... And the mashal...
What's the add-on to make you a rabbi if you're a psak?
Okay, sure, let's put it differently. Right?
Would,
very simple. If you had two doctors, right, who were both of similar skill levels, right, and one had good bedside manner and the other one didn't, which doctor would you go to? Good. What happens if the guy who had good bedside manner is a mediocre diagnostician, right? Or a mediocre surgeon. And the other guy is he's a bit arrogant because he's the best surgeon in the world, right?
More confident out.
Which one do you go with? Yeah, so psak is something that requires expertise. Yes.
So before you said it's an issue because you can't, I don't know the words in Hebrew, but you can't,
Gamir? Savir.
No. You can't, show favoritism?
Yeah, looks like you're planning about me.
Isn't that what you do when you pick your oath to possible for you?
No.
Is that different? No. Favoritism towards him versus another
oath. Neuro.
Right?
No. Neuro.
Well, that's what anyone does.
What? No.
Neuro. No, this is a problem of appointing. Neuro. You can. This is, remember, go back to what I just said. Yeah. Right? It's not a problem. If you had two doctors who were both qualified,
I can pick any.
Right? Then you would go to anyone and you'd go to the one who you have a relationship with in a good bedside manner, right? But you wouldn't go to the guy just because he has good bedside manner if he's not an expert. That's the key. This is one directional, right?
Okay, but if they're sitting next to each other, then
it's legitimate.
That's
not favoritism, right? Meaning, fine. Favoritism to do something which is not qualified. Meaning, you can...
Well, if they're not qualified, then I'm not discussion.
But that's how Chazal understood it, right? Is when you use these extraneous factors, right? Meaning, the Rambam is saying these are all good factors. We like people who are nice, right? If you ideally had someone who was nice and someone who wasn't nice, and they were both, right? Tell me they love him. So great, right? Now, I will qualify that in a minute. But fundamentally, right, this is true. Okay? Now the Rambam says again, now what does it mean? How much Torah do you have to know to be on the Sanhedrin? Again, we're still going to talk the ideal. Right? The ideal. How much Torah do you have to know? What do you have to be an expert in? Thank you. Kol HaTorah Kula. Everything, everything, everything. Now, what if you only want to be a posek in Hilchos Kashrut? Do you need to know everything?
You need to know Kashrut with some science.
No, do you have to know everything?
According to the Rambam, yes.
Good. Where's the Rambam get that from? The Yerushalmi. Because the Yerushalmi has a radical claim. The following. Yesh lahen limnot kol mishir tu ledvarim yechidim. You can, if you want, you can give someone smicha, right, real smicha, only for one thing. You can say you will be opposing in Hillel's kashrus. You're opposing in Hillel's nida. You will be a rabbi opposing in Hillel's mezuzah. Good. Vehu sheyeh ra'ui likol hadvarim, only if he is capable of poskening in everything. Meaning it's legitimate for someone to be more of an expert in one area, but in an ideal Sanhedrin, you can be more of an expert as long as you have basic expertise in everything, everything, everything. Now the Ravid turns on the Rambam and says, I don't understand that statement, right? Why do you need universal expertise to poskin on one thing? But you tell me, why do you need it? There's a few ways we could go with this.
Rav Chaim always describes Tosfos as the great. He does the interweb, right? That the Torah is all connected. So if you
one is the Rav Schechter approach, right? Rav Schechter says the reason is because simply, if you've learned all of Hilchos Kashrus, like you've learned all of the Simanim, let's say in Shulchan Aruch and Kashrus, that doesn't mean there isn't some halacha that's relevant, that's hidden in Becharos, that like affects Kashrus, but like it's not primarily about Kashrus. If you don't know everything, you'll miss that, right? That's the practical approach, which is you can't really be an expert in any one area unless you know everything. Or slightly different, Rav Lichtenstein once put it, someone asked him, this was classic Rav Lichtenstein. Someone asked him, Rebbe, are Yoatzot Halacha allowed to paskin? Now, everyone knows that he supported Yoatzot, but he never says yes, no, right? He said, look, if they know Hilchot Nida, right, they can baskin Hilchot Nida. Okay, whether it's technically Pesach was something we talked about a little bit last week, okay? But they can convey the Halacha and Nida, fine? But they have to know, and this is not just true of Yotzot, but he was making a pragmatic statement. One second. He just said, but remember, knowing Hilchot Nidah doesn't mean you can pass in every Nidah Shaila, because half the time a Nidah Shaila is not about Nidah. What's it about? Sfeikot. Right? It's a Safek. And what you need to be an expert in is not Hilchot Nidah, it's Chazaka, Rov, Karov, all the, right? Right?
You're not qualified.
Correct. So there's the practical level, right? Which is simply, it's very hard to actually be an expert in one area because halacha is interconnected. There is the second level, and I remember this was this may have been the first year I heard from Rosenzweig when I was in 11th grade or something. He came to visit Rambam and gave a shir. I don't know if he still does it. This is it. Because Mishpacha, obviously. Right? Because he's Eliyahu's brother-in-law. So, Basha. Or now, what is he? Now he's, I guess, Ariel teaches there, right? So, father. Anyways, not the point. He said, no, it's more than that. It's because part of Pesach isn't just knowing the knowledge. You know this. People, at some point, right, you can tell. Right? There are people who know a lot, and there are people who know so much that they just have a chush, right? It's an intuition, right? It's not even just like I might happen to find something somewhere else, right? It's at some point you know so much Torah that you, right? You speak with the intuition of what the Torah wants, just because like you know enough, right? At some point, there's the act of learning and learning and learning means that you just get a sense, right? It's just that moment, right? It's not like I can say, oh, now I know enough. There's that point where you know that certain people, you just trust them, that whether or not they get it, right? Whether or not you'll agree on every psak, you know that they have an intuitive approach, right? The way they say it in yeshivish circles, right? There's I think Rav Ziskin said this more than once, right? That in yeshivish circles they say that the strongest moments in, I think they use Ricky Baker, some of the Rush sometimes, right? Is not when he brings a proof, but when he says v'limir et, right? Because you would say, oh, isn't that weaker? Right? He's not bringing a proof. And he said, no, at a certain level, yes, it's weaker. He doesn't bring a specific proof. But if the Rush says, here's a proof, right, that means, I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, like about what the Torah says, but I think that this Gemara points in the direction where he says, Velini, right, saying, look, I don't have a particular proof, but like, I've been learning my entire life, right, and I have a feeling that this is the answer, right? What he's really saying is that my intuition about the system, right, tells me this is probably the right answer. I can't prove it to you, right? So Rosenzweig claimed that that's what the Rambam is getting at. That even if you're only an expert, right, you're a super expert in one area, if you're not at least a workable expert in the whole area, you have not yet integrated the Torah into you in such a way to have that intuition, right? And what we need for a posek is someone who has integrated that. So he says,
Is anyone really a posek today? Does anyone really know from the answer?
So the number of poskim who are like mamish, mamish, mamish poskim is very small. Are there people like that? Yes. Right? Like, when you talk to Rav Schechter, yes. He knows, you know, Rav Schechter, when you talk to him, right? Any sugi, you talk to him about it, anywhere, right? He will tell you what's going on there, and he will tell you his vort. You can agree or disagree, but he has thought about any sugya you have ever seen or ever will see, right? You talk to Rusher Weiss, right? Doesn't matter what you say to him, right? It's, oh yes, right? Like, you know.
You're a big fan of Rusher Weiss. How many times has he gone to this?
Many times. Literally, the man knows. No, no. Like, I went to hear him. Like, the man literally knows Shas, Gemara, Rashi does those by heart, right? B'li Guzma, right? By heart, right? There are people like that. You know, people like Reb Chaim Kanievsky, right? Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you have a question on Egla Rufa? He has a book of 300 pages on Hilchos Egla Rufa. Someone like that? Yes, it's called Nachal Eitan, right? There are people in the world like that. I don't remember. 200, 400, it's long. What? I read parts of it when I was your age, yeah.
I know, I did not read it.
But look, he also, remember, he is someone who, like, even things that I don't understand why he's written on them, like, he commissioned his grandson to write a Mishneh Berurah-style book on Hilchos Gilui Mayim. Okay?
I don't know what that is.
Uncovered water. You know those halacha that we barely keep or don't keep? Right? He has a book on it, right? Where he wrote Tshuvot, commenting on his grandson's book on it, right? Meaning any sugya you can think of, right? He has a book on it.
What are the
right?
Halachas about covering water?
Exactly. Not for now, right?
I've never heard that.
Exactly. That's my point. How many people are there in the world? There are people like that, right? Rav Avadya Yosef was like that, right? That was why I tore Kriya when Rav Avadya died, right? Because he qualified, or tried anyways. I had a kid in one hand and I kept pulling in my shirt. I don't think it lit very much, but fine.
It says rip your heart, not your heart, so it's okay.
And Rav Lichtenstein died, I had a scissor on hand, so I happened to be at home. Because I think Mayer was sick.
Would it
be
better to just take off my shirt?
No,
you tear it. No, you tear it, and for Rebbe Mufak, it's an Ein Mach, and you never sew it back up. I threw out the shirt.
Ein Mach?
Yes.
That was Molly Potson.
While it's torn.
At the beginning, but then I threw it out. Anyways. Okay, let's continue. Come on. Guys.
Okay. Talk about Molly Potson.
So he says, and he says, Ketzav, Chacham Mufla Sheroi Lahorot Lechola Tarakula Yesh. Right, if he could pass and everything, then you can give him localized psak. Okay, fine. Now, let's skip for a moment 12, because 12 is about getting permission for paskening. That's also part of it, but we'll come back to that. Now, this is the ideal. Right, the Sanhedrin, the ideal. Elamai, most poskim we're dealing with are, as Shua says, not that. Right? I could think of maybe 5 people in this world who fit this. I'm not sure I could think of 70, right, for a Sanhedrin. Okay, so the reality is usually we're dealing with poskim who are pretty good but not that. So, how does one qualify a posik of that level, right? That's an important question. Good, so let's go for a moment to the 13. 13 is the smock. Who's the smock?
You get 70 to go?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay, who's the smock?
Arishon.
He is.
Thank you. What's his name?
Oh. Simcha.
The Rimi Korbei. Korbil in Hebrew, but it spells Korbil, but Korbei, right? Something like that. Anyways, he says mitzvah kuf yud aleph is lehorot. There is a mitzvah to paskin. Dichtiv lehorot bnei Yisrael. Mitzvah l'adam l'hashiv l'shoel dvar hora im yodea. You're supposed to respond if you know how. Afilu lo higia lehora'a. Even if you're not a posek, even if you aren't qualified, right? There's a recognition that what, right? That. Right, there's the ideal, but realistically, not everybody, not every shaila requires that level of posek, and sometimes you do, right, you deal with the best you got. So that person...
Right, according to the Rambam, it does. It requires that level.
No, that's Sanhedrin. But now I'm saying, right? But now he's saying just Lahorot. So he says, look, ideally, obviously, you get the person who is. I think so. You couldn't grant him smicha, right? Formal smicha. But you do the best you can, right?
Formal smicha from Moshe.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. He says, "Afil lo igilara imin gadol beir kmoto." If there's no one greater than him, if there is, obviously you leave it to the expert. But if there isn't, meaning there is such a notion that people can lemaisa be poskim in less than ideal circumstances. The Rimigash in 14 was asked about such a case, and this was the question he got. He said, "Sheila." Someone, he doesn't know Gemara, he doesn't know how to interpret, but he reads a lot of Tshuvat HaGaonim, which in the time of the Rami Gosh was the equivalent of he reads a lot of article books. Right? Meaning, right? Then, he doesn't read the primary sources, he reads, but he's very well read in the modern literature, which in his time was the Gaonim. Right? Like, right? Okay, it's a long time ago. Fine. I mean, Rami Gosh, remember, is whose Talmud?
I thought it was a Rishon.
Yeah, whose Talmud? Yeah, but he's the beginning of the Rishonic period. So he's talking about, fine, you're right, not the article books. He knows the Igros Moshe backwards and forwards. Fine, he's talking like a generation before him. Remember, his Rebbe is the Rif. We're talking borderline here. Right? So he's saying he knows the Gonim, and he knows the modern Shuvah. He doesn't necessarily, he's not a Buckian Shas, but he knows any Shuvah or Moshe Feinstein, any Shuvah or Mubadi Yosef, Tzitzel Yezer, right? He'll tell you. No. No, no, this is the Shaila. Right? Can he? Vilonela meadenisha Shuvah inum dora matzavecha befarisha not meam shenichnas meam evsei mitzada matikim otam zeyraduk tachuvotem lezulat valein garmeim enagonim haru bitchuvotem alshelacha rachachasubem. He said, "Now I know that like this is a bit dangerous because people contradict each other, people change their minds, or if you don't have the primary sources, it's a bit dangerous to just paskin out of Moshe, right? But this is the reality." Right? Is it Vimishi Kari Deatobichu vote Elu, the Aino may be not Sedek man Mibiltit Sadek. He doesn't know what's right or wrong. Right? He's not a primary posek. He doesn't know how to analyze the sugya. Right? He can't gauge it, but he is well read in the contemporary halachic literature. Is he allowed to paskin knowing that maybe the posek he's relying on retracted? He doesn't know where it came from the Gemara. He doesn't know. Is he allowed to paskin? Are you allowed to rely on him for anything? Now, the end of this is where this gets tricky because he says this guy, A, doesn't know Gemara, B, is not a Yerushamayim. So, as you can well guess, that second one sets the Rimi Gash off, which is, no, if someone doesn't fear God, don't go to him as a posek. That, are we all in the same boat here?
Like, why is he even asking? That's like,
this is what the guy asked. I don't know. Fine, ve'idu alav birishiot ha-rabot. He wasn't just not Yerushalayim, it was attested to that he was a Rasha. Fine. Ve'od ha'idu alav shehu nitla yom li nendin echad b'shelet echad v'yechezu lego nechad v'machar nitla b'din adomai lo b'shelet acheret. And also, he sometimes lies, right? Says it was Ramosha, and it was Ravadia, says Ravadia, you know. Okay, the second half of the Tshuva is where the Rimi Gash says, you know, but let's look at his answer. Tshuva. Da sha'ish hazeh ra'u yoter lahatir lo la'rot. He said, "Look, if it weren't for the lack of Yerushalayim, what would I say about this guy? What would I say about him?
He's good.
No. No.
Good enough.
He's better than a lot of the other people around. Meaning, is someone who knows every Tshuva and Ramosha, every Tshuva and Ramosha, every Tshuva and Tzitzel Yezer, is he going to get everything right?
No.
Is he going to get it better than somebody who isn't an expert in modern Psak but thinks he's an expert in Gemara but really isn't? Right? He says, look, I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm saying, right, he says, "V'otam shemidamim lahorot miyun halacha." He said, those people who think that they are primary poskim, right? Guys, listen, this is important. He says, "V'otam shemedamim lahorot miyun halacha umichozek iyunam b'talmud." Right? Those people who think they're following the Gemara, heim shroi lamonam mizeh. Stop them, right? Lefi she'ein b'zmanenu zeshiyeh ra'u l'kach. He said, realistically, in his time, there isn't anybody who can do that. He said, look, obviously the ideal, right? I'll summarize after this. He says, look, obviously the ideal is someone who both knows the Gemara and knows the contemporary Dion. But if I had to choose someone who only knows Gemara and someone who is well read in the halachic literature, I'll take the second one. Because in the end of the day, right? Yes, ideal is, I know the Gemara, I know what I think, I know the contemporary consensus, but if I can't have everything, right? It takes a very high level, as we talked about, to be a real, real posek from the Gemara primary sources. Most people aren't there. And therefore he says, on balance, I'd rather there's someone who knows the literature, because in the end of the day, what's the worst that'll happen? Right? 90% of the time, you'll end up relying on Rav Moshe, Bavadya, Tzitzeliezer, whatever.
It's better to be a bucky in that as opposed to, than to be like a super gemara.
Correct. Now, he's not saying this is an ideal. He says, obviously, the ideal is, you know, the Gemara. He says, that's very hard for someone to be such a good posek that they can always pass on Gemara. Obviously, it's best to know both. Right? But what you already see in the Rimigash is this, right, is this recognition, right, that we're not always dealing, right, the Sanhedrin is our ideal. But we also have to deal, when you figure out who's a posek, right, there is the ideal and then there's the real. The ideal, know the sugyot and precedent. If you have to choose somebody, right? Correct. He's saying, what's the word?
It's just a conduit.
Bidiyuk, right? He said, it's not ideal. It's not the best, obviously.
Not the best, but they went.
Correct. Right. And this is where you see that transition. Now, the second half, obviously, he says, but in your particular case, stay far away from that guy because he's a Russia. So that, and he's a liar. So, but I don't need to tell you that, right? Newsflash: avoid Rishayim and liars as postkim. Okay, good. We're all clear on this. Now, one of the major questions in modern psak, but by modern I mean the last like 500 years, right? Is does Shulchan Aruch change this? Right? Does the existence, right? Meaning, it's one thing to say Tshuvat Hagaonim, but it's a little bit unfair to say Tshuvat Hagaonim is the equivalent of the modern halachic literature, because the modern halachic literature has a benefit over the Tshuvat Hagaonim, which is it is organized. Right? Meaning, one of the problems with just being a baki in Tshuvot was that
it's not organized.
Right, it's not organized. Maybe you missed a tshuva, maybe he retracted, right? But like organized books, does that change the maisa? Right? Does that change the maisa, our ability to paskin, without knowing the Gemara, without knowing the primary sources, right? Because if you talk to most poskim, right? A lot of poskim, right? People who are even decent, right? At least second tier poskim, okay? Like good second tier, right? Not the Gedolim, but fine. Are what I would call pachor o yoter shulchan aruch poskim, right? Meaning they don't necessarily know kol ha'tar kula. They know. I'm not talking about like third rate poskim. I'm not talking about like your average rabbi who can look something up in shulchan aruch. I'm even talking about experts, but don't necessarily know kol ha'tar kula, right? But maybe they've gone through shulchan aruch and they're aware. Right? Meaning they are aware of the dionim, or they have looked at it, but they haven't necessarily gone through all of shas with all the rishonim. Right? Does that change things? Right? Now, what I didn't put here, because I think I saved it for another share, but I'll say it outside, and maybe we'll go more into this at a different point. By the way, the next page is just about bias, so we're really where we are for part two here. There is a bit of a question of, I'll say this outside. The Gemara, the end of Bracha and the end of Horiot, asked the following question. If I had a choice, who should be a Rosh Hashiva? Either the Gemara says Oker Harim or Sinai. That's it, right? Oker Harim or Sinai. Right? Sinai is the one who knows everything, and Oker Harim is the one who's better at analysis. Now we're talking here presumably about people who are skilled in both, but one is right. Who is better? So the Gemara answers which one?
Oker Harim.
No. The Gemara answers that Sinai is better, and they, despite that, they appointed the Oker Harim as Rosh Yeshiva, but it was wrong. Right? It seems like it was wrong. Right? Because the Gemara says, "I call Shrichei Lamare the Chitayo." Everyone needs the person who has the right.
Right. You need the wheat.
Has the wheat. But, and Rav Lichtenstein is very fond of this. This chain. Now, Rav Lichtenstein used to quote this. Okay. This appears, Rav Avadia quotes it from Rishomo Kluger, Orachaim Kuflamid Vavin, as a goat to the pre Megadim. Okay? Who says that Bizman Hazeh, when we have books, Oker Harim is more important than Sinai, because information is cheap. Right? Anyone can access information. right? But seeing, but being able to analyze is much harder, right? Rabbi Avadia pushes back on this and says it's not really true. You still, and this comes back to the Rosenzweig point before, you still need to have seen the Torah. I mean, the fact that you can look things up still doesn't give you that intuition, right? You still need to have awareness of the Torah, right? So there is that tension. Now, part of that is also a different point. We're looking like to quote from the... He quoted from the Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah in Perkei Halacha Dalet of Chasam Torah, and I'm sure I've quoted this to you before, says that Bizman Hazeh, once you have books, right, the Halacha, Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo, primarily applies to paskening without looking something up in a book, because our books are our Rebbein. Now, he's not the first person to say this. The first person to say it is actually the Re. The Re Bala Tosfot, but quoted in a sefer that none of you have probably ever looked at or knew that existed, which is in the commentary to the Smach, the Smach Mitzurech, Rav Moshe of Zurich, the only Swiss Bala Tosfot that I know of. I think he's the only Swiss Bala Tosfot. Which Rabbi Dr. Kanefogel pointed out to me, because otherwise, how the heck would I find the comments on the Smach of Rav Moshe of Zurich?
I've never seen a Smach in my entire life.
Oh, the Smach I look at all the time. But the Smach, but the Smach also the Beis Yosef calls him all the time.
I know, but I've never seen.
He's Germany, 13th. Really? What? Of course, I've heard of him, but you're talking much later. But very nice. But the Smach Mitzurech quotes it from here. So part of the thing, and maybe we'll do this more extensively later in the year, because right now I want to lay out principles, but I want you to realize that one of the central questions that you have to ask in modern world is how has all of these equations changed when the access to information is even cheaper? Mm-hmm. Right now. This is one of the topics I like a lot. So someone actually emailed me 2 days ago and said, I'm starting a PhD on this topic. What sources can you provide for me? Right? And I referenced two articles that are written on it because I really like this topic a lot. Right? But we'll come back to that, right? Which is how this plays out in the modern period. But before we get to that, we have to look at sort of the precursor to this by 500 years, right? Which is, how does Shulchan Aruch do this? So, the background to this is that the Gemara has... Chazal have a very harsh things to say about someone who paskins from what source?
The Mishnah,
thank you.
Mibli ha'olam.
Mivale. They destroy, right? Anyone who paskins from a Mishnah, mivale ha'olam. They destroy the world. Okay? That is a harsh term. Now, what is the Mishnah? How does the Gemara, right? What does the Gemara mean by Mishnah? What does it mean by Mishnah?
Not
so
far.
Not per se.
No, not
correct.
Far.
It right. Means the halacha without the analysis, which is what the Mishnah was for them, right? Correct, right? So the question that was then asked by the modern, right, by the modern
poskening from Shulchan Aruch,
was poskening from Shulchan Aruch, is does the stricture against poskening from Mishnah mean you can't poskening from Shulchan Aruch, which would move the bar, right? What is a posing back to people who analyze the Gemara?
Right.
So I gave you just one source, the Piskei Tshuva here, quotes from the Maharsha. He quotes Ein Marsha b'chilulish yagadus paragimel dusadus yikasav uvedorod alalu odam shemorim alach mitocha shulchan aruch harei heim ein yodim atama anyan shekol davar im lo yidaktu tchila b'davar mitocha talmud shushimush talmid chachamim taut nafal b'horatanim b'chlal mevalei olam v'lachen yishlik or b'hen. The Marsha says those who paskin from shulchan aruch are those who destroy the world, because shulchan aruch is what the Mishnah once was. Unexplained halacha l'maisa. But the Piskei Tshuva pushes back on the Marsha and he says that was true for a very short historical window, which was
the time of the Marsha.
Not Mishnah Berurah, when there weren't Mefarshim.
Davka bizman harav Marsha.
Because he says the Davka bizman Marsha shlohaya dain shum chibal shulchan aruch the inna shenis chabra taz v'shach magen avram v'sharech ronim v'chol din mavur atam b'mkomo shabir damar lahorot mitoch shulchan aruch v'achronim. He says, but nowadays shulchan, when you say you pause from shulchan aruch, you don't mean you pause from shulchan aruch. You mean you pause from shulchan aruch and the nosei kalim. And what do they nosei kalim do on shulchan aruch?
Explain the Talmud.
They tell you the machlokas. They tell you why. Right? They help you apply. Now again, is this ideal? No.
But it's not Mivale Olam.
But it's not Mivale Olam. So here what you see is that ideal. What does it mean to be a posek? To know Shas, to know the primary sources. But there is this recognition that poskim, we're not really talking about the Sanhedrin HaGadol HaYoshev Yerushalayim. We're talking about, you know, people who are not quite at that level. What does it mean therefore to be a posek? So, if he knows Gemara, great. Minimum, right? He has to be well-versed in halachic literature. Is that ideal? No, right? But then you see this playing out where Marsha says, people paskin like Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't count at all. Why? They don't know what they're doing. They're just spitting back laws meaninglessly. But if you have Shulchan Aruch and no say Kelim, again, is that ideal? No, but is it Mavale Olam? No, because at least you're engaging, in some sense, with the rationales, the primary sources. Ideal? Maybe not. Right? But sufficient for most psak? Yes. Right? And this is what I think you get, is that the ideal posek, ideal, Sanhedrin, knows everything. Gamir v'Sabir knows primary sources, can analyze them, v'chula. Non-ideal? We have varying levels. But one of the key questions, as I said, in the modern period that we'll have to analyze maybe separately is, and this is where we're going to go from what does it mean to be a posek to now really the question we're trying to get to, which is, can any of you paskin, right, is, okay, once we recognize that we're in a non-ideal, meaning we're not talking about poskim, right, most psak is carried out by people who are competent, but not Rusher Weiss, right? So, at what point can you say, look, right, I also have learned, I also have access to information, I have, right, once the poskim are functioning on a bidyevit plane, meaning they're saying it's somewhat legitimate to poskim Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim, because maybe you didn't know the Gemara, but by looking Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim, you'll have access to the main sugya, to the main reasons, and you can figure it out. Right? Once the reality is that 90% of psak is happening on that plane, we're on the plane of the Rimigash. Most people don't know the Gemara. They're conversant in halachic literature. Well, this really opens the door to say, then why can't I paskin, or can I? Not why can't I. Can I, or more precisely, when can I? Because the answer is going to be yes, sometimes you can paskin for yourself. Right? That's the third topic we have to do, which is bias. Right? But like I said, we have to do this very systematically. Right? But you understand how, right? These are really three separate questions. Right? The first question was contextual issues, right? Your Rebbe is there. Second issue is what qualifies in an ideal world, but then in the real world. But once you recognize that most psak is functioning, right? 90% of psak, 95% of psak is functioning in that plane, that means that it is legitimate, even if not ideal, for most halachic decision making, right, to not happen at the level of the Sanhedrin. Well, once that's true, what happens when? So people used to say, well, I have Bar Ilan, right? But let's be honest. The reason that the halachic world has changed is not just because people have Shulchan Aruch and they have, you know, summary books from Art Scroll and they have Bar Ilan. Why has it really changed? Is that people have access to analysis. It's not just that people have access to information. Right? You're right. Having Bar Ilan, I still need a posek. But that's not what it is. You could Google and find articles analyzing the primary arguments of both sides and actually judge the primary arguments. Right? You can not know Hebrew. Right? And in most sugyot, you can find at least decent analysis of both sides. Meaning, right, what's changed it even more than access to sources is access, easy access to analysis, right? And that question of how that affects psak and how that enables people to paskin without poskin is a very important halachic question. I don't want to get into it, but I'll just say quickly that in 12, I just put what we call smicha is not what I talked about smicha, like you know, call it terukulot, etc. It's what we call heter hora, right? Which is where your, right, your Rebbe or whatever gives you permission, says you can paskin any particular issue, right? That's what we call smicha, just to know that, right? It comes from this Gemara where it's actually a question and answer. He asked him, Yore, am I capable of paskining?
Yes, again. Is
your Yor Rav, Big Rav, whatever.
What? It's always called Yor.
Yes, Yore, it's a question answer. Am I allowed to paskin Isra Heter? Yore, yes, you are. Right? Yadin, can I do Yadin? Can I judge monetary gauges? Yadin. Right? Now, I will point out that, and this is something we can't get into right now, is that part of getting a Heter Ra is not just your your post-seg Rebbe telling you that you know to paskin. It's also being convinced that you know how to convey information such that other people will understand your psak. Because that's, right, being a post-seg, that's part of it, right? Now, that's less relevant for you paskin for yourself. That is relevant for being a post-seg, is being capable of conveying information, okay? But this is question two. Question three we'll have to deal with is bias. And then after that, right, I think once we have the three principles, we can ask the question, like I said, well, what does that look like in the modern period when, again, access not just to material, but access to analysis is so easy, right? How does that affect all of you who at least have enough, right, yeshiva experience to maybe at least look at arguments and say, well, what do I do with this? Right? Meaning, or you may not know Kol HaTorah Kulo, but, right, you can get pretty easy access to a consensus, right? So what do you do then? Right? But you understand how you have to be very methodical and, right, build up all these questions. Then you can understand why, as they say in Hebrew, Nafal HaSimon, right? Right? It means literally just the token fell, but it means, like, right, at some point we woke up and, like, everything is different, right? That's really what we're dealing with. It. All these principles play out so interestingly in the modern world. That's what we have to analyze directly, okay? But next week we'll deal with bias. Once we've had those three questions set up, right, then we can sort of, right, really pin it down. But we'll have to take it, right, step by step, okay?